Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Now up on TSN 2. The Jays rained out tonight. Doubleheader tomorrow to finish the season. You couldn't think of a worse situation for both teams because, like, Baltimore's got the U-Hauls packed. They are out.
Yep.
They want to get out of Baltimore. They want to go to Vegas, Europe, New York, L.A., Miami. I don't know where they're going.
They're done.
But they're not staying in Baltimore. And the Jays want to get out of Baltimore. They want to get home, get settled, and you know you're playing Friday night down at the Rogers Center.
Who wants out more?
The Orioles.
The Orioles.
Really?
And that's their hometown. Yes. You guys would have played on teams where you know you're not making the playoffs.
Right.
Oh, my God.
They've known for weeks.
It is yard sale.
They just want to get out. Like, the Jays are happy to still play because they're still playing. Like, they know, all right, you want to play 165? You want to play 170? Go ahead. Yeah. Like, they're going to the playoffs.
I used to go to Cancun with one other guy every time we missed, which was a lot. And golden rule, nobody knows we're going to Cancun because you're booking this.
Well in advance.
Well, you're booking it as soon as you get, like, as soon as you're crossed off the playoff list, it's like, where are we going, Cancun? And nobody's known about it because it's just greasy, man.
Well, it's
like
if
somebody finds out, it gets greasy, and then people are like, what are you doing, booking travel? It's just like, well, we didn't make the playoffs, and we have nowhere to go, and it's my own personal times.
It doesn't seem like something that should bother anybody.
Right, but it's greasy. It's considered greasy.
It's like you don't care.
Yeah.
It's the optics. Say you're a fan, and you know where a player lives, and that team's out of the playoffs, and you see a U-Haul parked there 3 days before your last game, and just slowly, like, boxes going into it and stuff. Like, that's real-life stuff away from the game. But optically, it's bad. How many times have people been mad at things that people are allowed to live their life? The Phil Kessel tweet, you know, no place.
Hey, happy
I'd rather
birthday,
be.
Phil! I guess it was Phil's birthday. Was it yesterday? They had a little party for him down in Vegas.
Birthday cake. He looks good. You know, might need a solid rebuild at some point, but other than that, but like guys are allowed to. I remember, I think the Oilers, that core was struggling there years ago. With Hall, Eberle, and RNH, and they all turned 21. They went to Vegas. Edmonton went nuts. There was pictures of these guys enjoying Vegas.
After the season?
Yeah, after the season. But it's like, well, you're not allowed to go have fun. You're supposed to sit in your house and think about how you didn't make the playoffs. Like, it's at some point, you got to let it go.
Right, exactly. You know, like, were you more concerned about the fans and media or of, like, Jim Rutherford finding out?
It's just like one of those unwritten rules. You don't want to talk about where you're going because you got 15 games left or whatever it is, and it's like not to be mentioned.
15 is a lot.
There was some early exits. Early.
15, like when you're making plans around the new year for what you're going to be doing in April.
Not new year, but you know what's like.
It's March, trade deadline. Yeah.
It's all off the table
team
as
suck,
soon as
you're
crossed
out. Yeah, like if you're out, you're out. It is
curfew on the road. It's like it's all gone. It's optional. Like floor it every time.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean it happens. I was on an expansion team, and at the deadline, they traded away a bunch of salary. I think our salary, like the actual, like if you went to cap friendly that year in 2000, the Minnesota Wild after the trade deadline, I think there was about $12.5 million on the books. Because I remember one of the players leaning over to me. We were playing Colorado, and he's like, the guys on the ice on the power play right now in Colorado make more than our whole roster, like, times two. Something insane. It was crazy. And you're just, that's what it was.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know it. I mean, there's no point in hiding it. And Baltimore, baseball's, I think, more famous for it, like, not talking.
No, just
done. No end of season. It's just because they play every single
day. The worst part is sometimes 3 weeks they know they're out. Like you're on a garbage team. 3 weeks in, you could be 12 games back.
That's
and you're
right.
Screwed.
Yeah. Yeah, you know. Like if you're Kansas City, if you're Baltimore 2 or 3 years ago, you're like, we're going to win 45 games.
That's right. And 3 weeks into the season, you know that you can already make plans.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
But you just got to hide it. Stealth mode plans. Well, you make sure nobody knows.
If you're on a losing team, you got to make sure that you're still in the league the next year. You've got to have good stats.
Well, you got to be careful, too, because what if you get traded?
Right.
Like, that's an issue. You start booking a wedding, yeah, and all of a sudden you get flipped to a contender. You're playing
for
the Dodgers.
That's what you can't do. You can't do it before the trade deadline, man, because you could end up going to the playoffs and you're like, God darn it.
I guess I got to win a World Series now. Yeah, that sucks. Exactly. I'd rather be in Cancun and sin your frogs just lighting the lamp.
I love it.
Anyway, all right. We'll catch up with John Schneider a little bit later this hour. And we got into a number of things with John and the Jays. They're going to be home. I think the Dome will be closed. There'll be a packed house. We're still waiting for the schedule. We don't know who they're going to play and when they're going to play, because right, all four wild card games are going. All the wild card series are played Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Right.
So it's four games each day. They will be staggered. If they play Tampa, I'll bet you they'll play at like 1 o'clock.
Right.
At Seattle, it's probably 4 o'clock just because of the West Coast. But they're not playing prime time. I don't think that's going to happen. That'll be probably the Mets, probably St. Louis.
Right.
But anyway, we'll find out a little bit later this week in terms of what's going to happen with the Jays schedule. But John Schneider in about 20 minutes. But let's fire up. It is a Tuesday at 6:05. A little confirm or deny.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of the Toronto Maple Leafs Hockey Club.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
All right, confirm or deny, brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX 350 premium package from just $318 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. You like that intro, eh?
I just think of the stuff that like Scotty McKay is a good buddy of mine. He used to be the Leafs trainer. One of the best trainers in the NHL, if not the best. Fired him. Just fired him. Don't get me started, because go ahead.
All right, confirm or deny. A statement is made. We go around the table. We either confirm it or we deny it. All right, confirm or deny. Nick Robertson, if he plays 82 games this season, if he plays every single day for the Leafs, Nick Robertson can score 20 goals this season.
100% confirm.
Wow.
100% confirm that he could be a 20-goal scorer in that league. He's got to sniff around some secondary power play time. 4-on-4. He's just got to get those minutes that I had when I was a young player. It's like, you're not getting prime time minutes, but you're getting enough minutes in situations where you should produce. And I think he's going to get that. And from what I've seen, this isn't like Toronto Maple Leaf fandom flying off the handle when somebody does something good in training camp and it's like he's God. I just think that if he can put it together and gets the right situations to go out there in, he can score 20 goals, because he's definitely capable of it.
I'm going to confirm it as well, because 20's not crazy. Like, it's a good number.
It's a good season in the NHL.
Right, but I mean, Pierre Engvall had, what, 14 last year? Like, Robertson's a better finisher than him every day of the week, and then Kampf, all of those guys. If he gets top 6 minutes, if he gets looks, like if he gets to play 82 games where he's slotted, you know, maybe with a little bit more, like the Nylanders, Tavares and that, you're going to get your looks, and he's going to score. But 20 is a good number. Like, if you said 30, I'd say no. But I think he can get to 20 if he plays 82. I'm not convinced he plays 82.
No, exactly. And that's a part of this, confirm or deny, is that he plays every night. Because you would assume if he plays every night, he is playing with the likes of Tavares or Nylander.
Exactly. That's
what
I was
talking about. Like, possibly it's a third-line scenario. And if so, then that's less opportunity. Like, Bunting scored 23 last year. He's older. He's more of a vet. And he had the premium opportunity because of the two guys he played
with. That seemed like he was scoring at a clip.
Yeah, exactly. That's why I'm actually going to deny this, because I think 20 is...
rich?
It's a big number in the NHL.
It is.
Like, there's only so many 20-goal scorers in the league. Like, you got to be an effective player every single night to chip in 20-plus. And I just think that's asking a lot out of a young guy. I put it down as a lock. He'll do it at some point in his career, for sure.
Well, you'd hope so.
If he's going to have a career, he's a goal scorer. Like, as we've established, this guy is a pure goal scorer.
Right.
But I think asking for 20-plus, that's a lot. out of, like, it's a lot. Like, Bunting, to your point, though, it felt like he was scoring every single night, and he was involved in everything, and he's playing with the two best players on the team. He had 23.
Right.
He squeezed past 20.
Just,
like, I could see 15. I think 15 would be a great season. He played every night, scored 15, had 35 points, 40 points. I think that's you'll take that all day.
I don't disagree. I'm just saying, you said 82 games and we're projecting top 6 minutes. I think he can do it. Just the type of player he is. He's not a pass first, and, you know, I'm a shooter. That's how he plays. And I don't mind, and I'm saying this respectfully, I don't mind somebody who plays a little bit of a selfish game. Like Jerry Malkin, he's the type. He had a wide open lane to the net yesterday. He had a play
Gino
in there.
Gino Malkin.
Yeah, who are we talking about here? Because is it Malkin or Malgin? Is it
Sorry.
Gino or Jerry?
Gino Malkin.
Gino Malkin.
Gino
of
Malkin
the
had a wide open lane to the net. He had an option through the seam on the back door. He wasn't even looking at it. He's a shooter. He tries to make plays. I think Nick Robertson, his first instinct is to shoot the puck.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why he might be more of the Cy Young. He can get 20 goals if he plays 82, but he might have 11 assists.
Yeah.
Or secondary assists, that type of stuff.
That's like the thing. If you're playing with Nylander and Tavares,
right.
Like they're going to score goals.
Shooters themselves.
That's the thing. At some point, like, you have everyone shooting the puck. I mean, someone's going to have to pass.
Yeah.
All right, Aaron Judge is still stuck on 61. Did not get it today. He's only got two games left. Confirm or deny, Aaron Judge's season will be defined by if he hits 62.
Absolutely, man. It's such an incredible honor to tie Maris with 61. But him not getting 62 would be everything.
Absolutely.
You want to get to 62 because it's just, I don't know, it's an ego thing. It's pride. It's like you want to have your name on it solo. I think it would be a massive story if he doesn't get it, to be honest with you. And I'm quite shocked that we're even talking about this.
They better pitch to him. Can you imagine how greasy it'd be if you just walked them a bunch of times?
Especially in Texas?
Yeah, they're Texas. Like, you talk about U-Hauls. They've right. been out
oh
since
my
July.
God,
but,
they suck.
You know,
I think he's getting his first at bat, I was watching it today, and he went at the first pitch, and he hit a ground ball to short out. Like, you could tell he was like, I got to get on this.
Squeezing here, yeah.
I think mentally it's probably getting to him a little bit. He's playing every single day. He has not had a day off in a long time.
Yeah,
but I'm confirming it, too. You hit 61. It's memorable in New York. It's a great season, but he's not going to get the Triple Crown anymore because he's walking so much. He's not hitting enough to get his average up.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you got to get to 62. Like, the whole story will be this guy was – we were talking he might hit 70.
Right.
You know, at one point it was like 65 seems like a lock. If he ends up stopping at 61, because let's not forget, he was stuck on 60 for a long time.
Right.
He barely got 61. Frankie Lasagna, like, it barely got to the seats. Frankie Lasagna was down at New York over the weekend. Did you see that?
No. Doing what?
Budweiser Canada sent him down there to try to catch the 62nd ball.
No way.
Yeah, Frankie Lasagna was at Yankee Stadium.
And the other guy was on, like, Kimmel or something.
Yeah,
like
I don't
that.
Know what the
other guy
story
is.
The
other guy is too cool for school. He went on Kimmel, but
yeah, he's cool.
Our show.
Well, he's
whatever.
Too cool.
I don't care. But
Frankie Lasagna, yeah, Budweiser sent him down. It was really cool.
Let me ask you this, and this is an honest question. If a pitcher in Texas decides, I'm going to throw him a meatball, an 80-mile-an-hour muffin down the middle, and let him fire it right out of the park, would you look differently at him?
No, because it wouldn't be Judge's fault. Like, he's still the 61 preceding home runs he had to lock in.
But,
and even a meatball at 80, you still got to be ready for it. You still got to hit it.
I know,
him.
But like a pitching machine pitch. Like,
somebody threw me a pizza, I'd give him a Rolex. Say,
no one's going to do that,
like,
though.
Would that guy's career be looked at differently? Be like, you actually...
I don't think so. I think he would disguise it more. I don't think it would be... You know, he wouldn't throw it 80. But even if it's 90 without much action, like in a hitter's count, it's right down the middle of the plate.
Right.
Like, that's, I think, the way you could manufacture it. And I don't think anyone will. And I don't think they should. It's still pro sports.
Right.
It's on him to hit the ball. It's not on the pitchers to hook him up. But you could manufacture a scenario where it's a hitter's count, you know, it's a 2-0 count, 3-0 count, 3-1 count, and you're like, all right, I'm throwing a fastball. You know it's coming.
Yeah.
Like, a fastball is coming down to the middle of the plate. If you hit it, there's 62.
Right.
But it's still on him to do it.
It's
so,
just...
but anyway, for this, I'm confirming. He's got to get to 62,
yeah.
Or it will feel like a massive disappointment.
Yeah, I'm confirming it.
Like a massive letdown.
Yeah.
Confirm or deny, Ben Simmons, who was getting booed last night in Brooklyn, his debut as a Brooklyn Net in Brooklyn, he was getting booed at the line. So it's a good start for Simmons.
I didn't see. Was he throwing up bricks?
He went over for two at the line, and they booed him. So, yes, he was throwing up bricks.
Oh, no.
But that aside, Ben Simmons will totally redeem himself this season in Brooklyn, confirm or deny.
How could any one of us confirm that, Hayes? With his past couple of years, starting in Philly, there's no way you can confirm that. It's just not possible. There's been injuries, accusations of faking injuries, not wanting to play. I mean, of all the guys, whether it be Kawhi, the kid in Denver, Davis, there's a bunch of guys back from injury. This is the last guy that you would predict to have a good year.
Yeah, I'm denying it as well. I can't.
Now, it's 100% denied.
The sales pitch for redemption is who he's playing with. If Kyrie Irving decides that he's willing to play, which would be nice of Kyrie,
right,
that he's willing to play. If Kevin Durant's committed, which when he's on the court, you know he's a baller. Like, he's a gamer, you know KD's going to play. They have some depth, a little bit more in terms of injuries, coming back to the fold. I think he's got the coach that should help him in a scenario like this. You talk about a guy who played with vision. Steve Nash is the epitome of that. He's got all the support in the world because he's got the contract and the new team has to support him.
Right.
But I just can't believe it. I can't accept the full redemption for Ben Simmons. I can't.
Deny for me.
Yeah, I don't see it happening.
I feel like Barkley's going to call him street close at some point.
He might. I think he'll probably miss a lot of games.
Yeah.
And you mentioned that he has the coach. I mean, good Canadian boy. We love Steve Nash. But is the book out on what he's doing there? Like, he's not exactly Phil Jackson.
No,
right
it was
now.
Ugly like, last year, man.
Yeah, and I know he's got some real powerful personalities and a lot of distractions that a lot of coaches wouldn't have to deal with, but it's not like you're saying, wow, this guy was so made for this.
No, the X's and O's were not
Steve
that strong.
Kerr stuff.
No, it wasn't. It's not even close, man. He's got to redeem himself. Steve Nash has got to show up.
Sure.
Like, yes, this is probably a do-or-die season for him as well. Confirm or deny, if Sidney Crosby plays more than 75 games this season, he will finish top five in Hart voting.
If he plays 75 games?
Yeah, 75 or more. In other words, what will feel like a full season for Sid.
Sid's my guy. I'm going to go 100% confirm on this. I think he's got a couple years left where he can make a push and kind of resurface his name as like a Hart Trophy guy or just that type of guy. A couple more seasons where he can take that one last gasp and say, we here.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree. I'm gonna confirm it as well. He had 84 points in 69 games last year.
Yeah.
So if he gets to 75, yeah. If he gets to,
if he has 75, you gotta think that's 90 plus points.
That's what I'm gonna say. Yeah. Like, that's a hell of a season.
Yeah.
And that means Pittsburgh's probably done something decent, like been a top-tier team.
Well, that's what comes into it, right? Like,
right.
You have to be on a playoff team.
Right.
You also, like, the thing is, 90 points now, with the way the game is going, is not, that doesn't put you in the top 10 in points.
No.
Like, think about how many guys last year had 100 points.
Yeah.
High 90s.
There was a lot that...
And this is why I'm going to deny it, because everyone loves Sid. I love Sid. And I think the narrative is a big part of this. And I think what you said, is a fact. He's still got a lot of game left, and there will be a circle back on, hey, let's give one more to Sid here. Right? Like, everyone pay attention to the greatness of Sid. Look what he's still doing. Because for the greatest player of a generation, compared to the other equivalents, his equivalents in other sports, Tom Brady,
right,
maybe Mike Trout, LeBron James. Like, that's where Sid is in terms of what he's done for the last 15 years. He does not get anywhere near the amount of fanfare that those guys get. And love for the fact that he still continues to be a dominant player. I just look at the numbers for the Hart. McDavid, I think, is a lock top five.
Right.
Assuming health. I think Draisaitl is probably a lock top five. I think Matthews is a lock or close to a lock top five. I think there's three guys in the league right now who, if they play 75-plus games, will probably finish ahead of him. And then I look at Kaprizov, I look at Kucherov. Like, you just go down the list, there's so many quality young players for him to overcome. What if Barkov has 110 points?
Yeah.
Like, he's I think there's too many good players out there.
Sid's 95 is basically like another guy's 115 or 20.
Well, I mean, you talked about there were eight guys that had over 100 points last year. JT Miller had 99 and right. Marner had 97. So there's 10 guys right there. You got
to
get into the 90s for sure.
You
Marner at 96. Yossi. Like, there's a defenseman
That's
should
what I'm
be
saying.
In there. Yossi had 96
McCarr.
Points last year.
Shesterkin had a great year. What if a goalie has another spectacular year?
Yeah, I just... It is hard to get in there, but a special year from Sid feels special. You'll know it. Like,
yes.
We'll all know it.
That's what I don't think 90's enough. I think if he had 107 points, he'd probably win it.
Yeah.
Because then the narrative would start coming alive. Look what he's doing. Look at his complete game. Because as a complete player, he's still maybe the best in the game.
Right.
Like on any given night, the way he plays 200 feet.
Yeah. The scary part is... You know, if 97 in Edmonton
That's
decides, I want to get 150
he
points.
He has 150. He's in. If Matthew scores 60 again, he's in.
Yeah.
Like we're talking top five.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of candidates.
Yeah.
But that's why you play the games, because there's guys that pop in and pop out. I'm full willing to think that a guy like Kaprizov could be in that conversation this year. Like, he's
totally
that
agree.
Great of a player.
I totally
but
agree.
What if Pastrnak has a year?
What about McKinnon? Like, there's like, a million guys. And Sid is in that conversation.
Yes.
But there's a few guys that are ahead of him that I think are closer to lock. So you're talking less spots than they're used. Where he was that guy forever.
Yeah.
He played the role of McDavid forever. You know he was top five. Who do you think has a better chance of winning the Hart this year, Sid or Ovechkin?
Ovi had 90 points last year and 50 goals.
That's what I'm saying.
That is crazy.
Like if he scores 50-plus again... And that team takes a big jump, and all of a sudden they finish with 107 points or 108 points.
Yeah,
I don't know.
Ovi,
it's all health. If Sid gives you 80 games, who the hell knows what he could do?
Yeah,
but it just doesn't seem like that's part of the equation right now.
No, it hasn't been recently. Same thing with Ovechkin. Like as he gets older, you got to assume he's going to miss some games. Speaking of which, confirm or deny the final one. Dak Prescott's security in Dallas will be a season-long story. Confirm
100%,
or deny?
100%. That's the football version of the Maple Leafs, and they're nuts, and they love, even if it's completely wrong and asinine, the idea where it's like Dak is your guy and you believe in him. It'll be a season-long story.
Yeah. Cooper Rush, man, 3-0 as a starter down there. And, like, Jerry Jones, I guess, was on radio in Dallas.
Oh, God.
And said that Dak's grip is still not at 100%. I don't think Jones wants him to return yet.
No, they're keeping
him. I like how the week before it was like, this guy's recovering unbelievably. He's going to be back way sooner than expected. And now it's, we don't know about this guy. We're going to rest him.
I thought Glenn Sheeler... who is a Cowboys fan. Did you read his tweet?
I got to block him on. He is going to absolutely roast me via text.
Did you read his tweet, though?
No.
We live
say?
In a world where Cooper Rush is putting up better games than the likes of Kyler Murray, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, but not Geno Smith.
It's true, man. Geno Smith, his stats are... They're the best in the league, like in terms of analytics, in terms of wins above replacement.
I just thought it was an interesting comment because... Cooper Rush is right there. That's Cowboy fans in a nutshell. Like,
yeah, that's
Rush
right.
is the, and it, he's earned
he's
it.
He's the new toy. What Cooper Rush has earned is he will get a shot to start somewhere in the NFL. Like the football, it's such a small sample size sport. If you give three or four quality games where you look pretty good,
Nick
someone's going to give you a chance.
Nick Foles.
Like
he
Nick
won
Foles
a Super
made
Bowl,
a fortune.
Man. Yeah,
he did everything he was supposed to do. Then he made a lot of money.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Hayes: Dallas, who do they play this week?
They're at the Rams, I believe.
They win. Cooper Rush gets his win, and he's 4-0. Prescott's healthy the week after. Does he start? I'm saying no.
I think if Cooper Rush goes into L.A. and beats the Rams and puts up a performance, I think Cooper Rush will probably start the next game. I think you're right. But at some point, Dak is going to return.
Yes.
And then you got to make a determination. What are you going to do?
But there's times where... And Luke talked about this, too, when Jimmy G came in. Like, guys rally around certain things.
Well, I'm just looking at their schedule. Let me paint a picture for you here.
All right.
The Cowboys are in L.A. playing the Rams this weekend. That is the game on Fox, the 425 game, the America's Game of the Week.
Yeah.
Which is always the most highly rated TV show on American TV. You got Cowboys, Rams, Cooper Rush. If Rush performs well, like goes in there and outperforms Matt Stafford and wins that ball game, the next week is Sunday Night Football at the Eagles.
Oh, man.
Who are the only undefeated team in football.
Yeah, they're good.
What happens if Dak, between the Rams game and the Eagles game, goes, I'm 100% good. His agent starts leaking info saying he's throwing the ball perfectly. He's ready to go. That is a spicy meatball.
And totally Rush. Spicy.
That's a thing of beauty right there.
Yeah, Cooper Rush. I think he's the flavor of the week, but he's getting it done.
Listen, you win ball games in the NFL, you're going to get a lot of love. You deserve a lot of love. That's what he's doing. All right, Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Lease the 2022 RX 350 premium package from just $318 biweekly for 39 months. Available for immediate delivery. Details at DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Do the Blue Jays have a team chat group? Group chat, I should say. Do they have a team group chat? We'll get you that answer. Did they party last night after finding out that they do have home field in the wild card? That and more with John Schneider next. All right, we'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel later in the hour. Jays game postponed tonight. We caught up with John Schneider, manager of the Jays, earlier this afternoon. And last night, they couldn't finish the game because of the rain, so they had to sit around a clubhouse for 30 minutes. And then they went back to the hotel, and they had to wait to see if Seattle was going to lose. And when they found that out, they knew they had clinched home field in the wild card. So we decided, because we were talking about it just prior to having them on, like, what's the move in Baltimore? Do you celebrate again? Do you double down with a champagne party? Oof. You go back to the clubhouse, lobby bar? What's the move? So let's get to the bottom of it. Here is our conversation with John Schneider, the manager of the Jays, where we began by asking what the play was last night after they found out they had clinched home field in the wild card.
No, we took it easy. It happened late. We were out of the clubhouse already. But the team group chat was definitely a place to be.
So when you guys do clinch and you guys have a good time, as a manager the next day, you know your guys might be a bit fuzzy. How do you approach that game?
Same as all of them, really. I mean, I think that, the guys definitely, earned the right to have a great time, and they all did that. We all did that, and I think they're all professional enough to know that there's more games to be played with a lot of significance. So we enjoyed it when we were there, and, the guys came ready to go the next day, and I think their play definitely showed that.
It definitely did. Are you just going to tell them to let it fly every night because they just smashed teams in the face as soon as they lit it up in the locker room? Like, that's got to be something where you got to be thinking, like, green light every night.
Well, we have a young team. They can rebound very well. And, I think that, there was some talk about having that kind of production after every win going forward. We decided against it.
You mentioned the group or the team text chain. Are you on that with the players? Or I've never heard of that. I've heard of the players only. But are you on that with the fellas as well?
Yeah, it's a total group effort. It's the staff. It's all the players.
It's
front office. Yeah. So I'm sure that they have their own, but there's definitely one where everyone put it top to bottom.
So they have their own too, John. Like, do you think? Tell me, you sent like a meme out, and then it's just crickets, and that the other text chain is flying. You're like, can you believe Schneider just sent that out? Like, how does that work?
I try to not send them out any really important messages out via text. Try to talk as a group, but I'm sure that there's been a few that have been deleted that have been sent to the wrong thread. I'm sure. All in good fun, though. All in good fun,
as it should be. With John Schneider, manager of the Jays. Jays clinching home field for the wild card. They'll be back up at the Rogers Center on Friday. You guys are really rolling. I mean, to put it lightly, it feels like from afar you're playing your best baseball. Do you guys feel like you're peaking at the right time?
I think so. I mean, we're getting great pitching. The at-bats are good up and down the lineup, contributions from everybody. The conversations that are happening in the clubhouse and in the dugout are tremendous. Guys have a very singular focus on trying to, make a deep run. We are all thrilled that we're playing at home this weekend and can't wait for that atmosphere. And, it's nice. It's a very talented group, and we've been very streaky. That's been well documented over the course of the year, a lot of ups and downs. And, right now is a very good brand of baseball we're playing.
How close are you and your staff to figuring out who's going to be on that 26-man roster for the wild card?
We're getting there with each hour. We're figuring some stuff out from both sides, both pitching and position players. And, I know we have up until the day of on Friday. And, just trying to cover all of our bases and cross all of our T's, dot all of our I's, all that kind of stuff with the games we have remaining. And, looking forward to the group that we are going to put together.
How do you get to those decisions, John? There's been a lot of chatter in baseball, and we talk about this stuff all the time. Who makes the decisions? Are you ultimately had the last call? Is it a group meeting with management and yourself and your coaches? Just how do you come to big decisions?
It's a very collective process. You know, everyone's really involved, the whole staff, the whole front office. We have a lot of people that help with all sorts of suggestions, numbers, matchups. And, we're very fortunate to where we have a very close-knit group that kind of ties into all of those things. And conversations happen every day throughout the course of the regular season, so it's not very different than what we're used to. And, we're fortunate to have the depth that we have on both sides of the ball as well. So there will be some tough ones. But, at the same time, I think collectively as a group, we're very confident however we land.
You're likely playing Seattle, but that is not locked in yet. Might you change your roster based on who you end up playing?
You could. I don't think with the way that we're set up, it would fluctuate too much depending on opponent. But again, I think that the depth that we have, it really gives us a lot of options. And you try to just pick out specific scenarios that may come up over the course of a series, depending on opponent. But we're pretty much, happy with the way we're going to deploy, no matter who we're going to be playing.
With John Schneider, Jays manager. Jays back home Friday night for the wild card. They've got a game tonight in Baltimore, game 162 tomorrow. Obviously, you're aware of this, John. Everyone on the outside of the club is talking about the three-man rotation for this three-game series. You might not need a third starter. You could win in the first two games, and it's a moot point. We all know Manoah's going and Gausman's going. The third guy, at this point, it's either Barrios or Stripling. Have you made a decision on who will get the ball? And if so, when do you intend on making that clarification?
Well, we're still working through kind of the whole process, I think. We haven't we're going to touch base with the guys shortly in the next day and kind of lay out our thinking and our plan. But again, we have a luxury of having four really good starters. So we're going to kind of make sure we're, thinking through every possible situation and just try to put the guys in the right spot with both, a short picture and a big picture in front of us. So nothing yet set in stone with the way we're lining it up, and we should know within the next 24 hours.
John Schneider, the Jays. In terms of Alek Manoah, the month that he has had, we just asked you about your team peaking at the right time. He just won the AL Pitcher of the Month. He had a .88 ERA for the month of September. You've been around him a long time. Is it possible he's pitching better today than he has at any point in his young career?
I mean, numbers would probably suggest that. He has the very unique ability to compete at a very high level in big situations for a young pitcher. The way that he's responded to workload, the way that he's responded to big moments and big games that matter quite a bit has been outstanding. And, I think that he would probably tell you he's not throwing the ball as well as he could. And then you look up and you see what he's been doing over the last month. And really there have been a couple outings where he's navigated without his best stuff. But, I mean, you cannot argue with what he's been doing, not only the whole year, but down the stretch. He's been one of the best in the game.
Well, in terms of, Whit Merrifield, we've talked about him a lot the last couple of days, really since you guys acquired him at the trade deadline. And it was a tough start for him. It was a difficult transition. At one point, he really wasn't playing every day. In fact, it seemed like he was never on the field. Now it feels like you won't be able to take him off. The last 2 weeks, it's really clicked. What have you seen up close and personal that you think has led to this?
I think having the right attitude coming over, for one, understanding a little bit of a different role than what he's used to over the course of his career, and not taking days off in terms of work. And I think what you're seeing over the past 2 weeks or so is the player that he's always been, the player that we were, you know, knowing we were acquiring at the deadline. And I'm sure it's easier for him getting regular reps. And you're seeing everything from the defensive versatility to the at-bats, power, you know, a handful of home runs. What he can do on the bases is just game-changing. And, you know, we're just, you know, I can't say enough good things about him as a professional, as a teammate, and happy for him that he's really taken, you know, taken hold of this opportunity in front of him.
John, how are you going to handle the next couple of days? Are you going to talk to guys individually? Do you want to play? What kind of rhythm are you looking for? Just how to figure out how to handle. Guys need rest. Guys want to get out there. Guys got to pitch. How do you do that?
Yeah, you talk to them. We've been in communication with them. It's nice to have a little bit of, you know, an open mind to see what's more important, playing, staying sharp, or getting some rest. We have a lot of guys that play every single day, especially around the infield. So it is nice to take a blow if needed. But at the same time, I think you want to keep them sharp going into Friday. So more so from a pitching standpoint, you want to try to make sure you really nail that and line that up from a bullpen standpoint. And the guys are at the point now with the reps and the at-bats they have. They should be good to go Friday, and just being in touch with them and seeing what they need.
How much of the young – how much do you hope to see over the next couple of days in terms of young players leaning on veteran players like Whit Merrifield, obviously like George Springer, who's won a World Series, won an MVP in a World Series. Gausman's been around the block. You got guys in the bullpen who have been around for a while. Is this where the true value of veteran leadership can really pay off in the next two or three days?
Absolutely. I think this group has been together for quite a while now, our young group, and you throw in the Gausmans, the Chapmans, and the Georges, and, you know, Anthony Bass, Jimmy Garcia. You throw in those guys with that have been around, and it helps. And those conversations have really been happening over the past month. Guys have been leaning on one another, and they really started pulling in the same direction down the stretch. And I'm sure that's going to continue to happen throughout the postseason. So it is it's a very cool blend of guys that have done it, guys that are really talented and are looking to do more of it.
How we've talked about you on the show quite a bit, where there's been times where we'll say you get a little bit spirited in the dugout and maybe have a conversation or a look for the other dugout. How many times have you had to hold yourself back, or is it just pretty much in your nature? That's the way that you like to manage a club.
I don't know what you guys are talking about. I think that's me. I mean, I'm very passionate about the people that I work with every day. And I think the fact that I've known a lot of these players for a long time through the minor leagues and the last few years here plays a part in it. And, you know, I want the best for the guys in this team. I want the best for the staff in this team. And if that means having a conversation with another group of people, so be it. If it means having a conversation with the group of people that's in the clubhouse, so be it. I think a lot of these guys know me well enough from years past, or even just this year alone, they know I'm passionate. They know that I want nothing more than to win every single night. And, you know, I have no problem letting that be known, however it is.
With John Schneider, Vladdy was quoted as saying recently that he caught up with Edwin Encarnacion and Jose Bautista, and they told him, you haven't even experienced Toronto baseball yet till you get to the playoffs. You guys will experience it as of Friday. I believe the Dome will be closed. There'll be almost 50,000 people in there. How much of the first couple innings will be not necessarily survival, but avoiding a deer in the headlights scenario where you realize, okay, yeah, this place is popping, but it's go time. You got to perform.
Yeah, I think everything that we've been through the last couple years, not being able to play there, we are going to be very aware of, you know, how lucky we are to have that back, to have the support of an unbelievable fan base. And it is, I think that's where you rely on veteran guys to, you know, you have the emotions and you have the adrenaline and you still have, you know, a game plan and a job to do. So we are going to enjoy it. I know myself personally, I'm going to try to take in every single moment and every single cheer and every single person in that stadium. And our players are looking forward to doing the same thing. You know, guys that came here from other teams, they came here for this specific reason. Guys that have been through the system and grinding the last few years to get to this point, they've been waiting for that moment. So it's we're going to try to stay ahead of it, and we are going to embrace all of the support that is coming our way.
It's going to be loud. It's going to be fun for sure on Friday. Good luck tonight, tomorrow. Safe travels home, and good luck as of Friday. Enjoy every second of it. We appreciate you finding time for us. Thank you, John.
You bet, guys. Thank you. Can't wait to be home.
There he is, John Schneider. That was earlier this afternoon before the announcement that tonight we are aware the game is not happening tonight. It will be a doubleheader tomorrow. And that'll be it. Game 161, game 162. Then the real party begins. See, Bo Bichette was asked about the playoff atmosphere, yeah. The two games down at the Trop a couple of years ago. Basically said there was absolutely no atmosphere. I haven't played in the playoffs. No, there wasn't any. There wasn't any. Because I don't think they were allowing people in anyway. Yeah, it was at the Trop, and I don't think there were fans. It was 2020. So how could there be atmosphere?
But even if there were
fans, it's the Trop. And
it's the Trop. There's no atmosphere. And yes. You're right. Even in Florida, where there seem to be no shutdowns.
Right. There may have been some fans in that building. I don't remember.
I don't either. But
I can't remember.
Zero atmosphere, bottom line. And these guys have watched. They've heard stories. They know how exciting it's going to be Friday night.
Yeah, it'll be wild, man. You're guaranteed at least two home playoff games. Now you got to take advantage. And push it into the DS.
So in your mind,
if you win, you're playing Houston. It won't be easy.
The lock of all locks is Manoa.
I would have to believe so. I'd be shocked if it wasn't Manoa game one.
Right.
And then after that, it's either Gausman game two or
Barrios
or Stripling game two, and then maybe you save Gausman for a game three. But that's a bit of a gamble.
Yeah.
Because probably once you set up your rotation, what if you lose game one?
Right.
And then you made the decision to go with Stripling or Barrios instead of Gausman, who's more of a sure thing for game two.
Well, wouldn't they have a contingency plan where it's like, okay, this is what's going to happen, or do they need to know when they're going?
Pitchers, I think you can. If you're on full rest, you can go whenever you're called upon. It may put them out of sorts a little bit if they're prepared, you know, like the day before a game, do they have a routine, and then all of a sudden something changes, but... I mean, they're pro players,
yeah.
And they're healthy.
I think it's contingency. Think we lose game one, Gausman, you're goes. Going.
Yeah, I could see that.
We win game one, Strips, you're going, and Gauss just
But even
case.
That's kind of a psychological spin, too. It's like, oh, we got game one. It's all good. Stripling, you go game two instead
yeah,
of closing.
Why not go for the throat?
Exactly.
All right, but then, like you say, you go 1-1. And you've got Strips or Barrios.
You can spin it any
which way. You're
rolling
the dice.
Yeah, you can spin it any which way. All right. A lot of people are still tweeting about the Star Wars reference. We'll come back and regroup on that. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by FanDuel as well. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050 and on the TSN app. All right. Time now for our best bets brought to you by FanDuel. Bet on all your favorite teams on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. Tonight, I like the under in this Tampa-Boston series where Tampa doesn't. They can manufacture runs with the best of them, but they don't generally have an explosive offense. And Boston is done.
They're done.
They are finished. They are done. I like the under. This is where I'm looking for value against very good teams who are also understanding that these are just formalities. In other words, the Dodgers know they're probably the best team in baseball. They've got a bye. They're not in the wild card. It's all good. You got Urias on the mound tonight, who's a stud. But you're getting huge plus money for Colorado on the run line. You're getting plus 146. For plus 1.5 runs with Colorado, I think it's worth a sprinkle for them to try to keep it close against the Dodgers team that, again, isn't playing for anything right now. You're getting a lot of plus money plus a half run. Same thing with the Phillies, who are actually preparing for the playoffs in Houston against Verlander on the mound tonight. Only paying a little bit of juice for an extra half run. I'll take Philly tonight.
Sure.
Houston, best team in the American League. Dodgers, best team in the National League. Both teams home free. Urias, a stud. Verlander, a stud. Verlander's going to win the Cy Young again. Coming off a blown-up arm.
Isn't he 39 years old?
I was just
going
to say, how old is he?
He's 39. He's coming off. He had Tommy John. Like, he's coming off Tommy John, and he's going to win the Cy Young.
Unbelievable.
Incredible season.
39 years old.
Yep, and Houston's doing it. Dusty Baker. Like, Dusty stepped in there. Remember, it was he's only there for PR. He's just going to say the right things. He's done a great job.
Yeah.
So, shout out to Dusty Baker.
Top Step Tony cashed his chips.
Tony's
right?
had enough. Yeah. Top Step Tony La Russa's had enough. I love this. I love that he is the one resigning as if he had any choice.
Yeah. They just said that's.
No, why don't you go and that's actually like a classy play. You go out there and fall on the sword and pretend as if you had an option to return and say that you're not accepting that option.
No, you just say, Tone, that's enough. Top step.
Thanks. Thank you, Top Step. Top Step, Tony
LaRusso.
That's
actually a great nickname.
It's a great nickname, Top Step. I think John Schneider's somewhat of a Top Step guy.
He is.
I think he will be in the playoffs, too.
Oh.
Man, he'll be fired up.
Yeah, and the blood pressure will be high. Mm-hmm. He gets the red face going because he's intense. I love it.
He's intense. Seattle playing, Tampa playing. We're probably going to know this time tomorrow who the Jays are playing in the wild card game. So a full breakdown of that as of tomorrow. The Leafs are coming up. You got a lot going on. Week 5 in the NFL right around the corner. So we'll have all that more on tomorrow's show. Thanks to everyone behind the scenes for helping out, everyone that tunes in via radio, TV, web, podcast, whatever it is. We appreciate it. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the games tonight. We're back tomorrow at
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.